Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And, this is a, I want to say bittersweet day.
Car's fixed.
Oh, so
is that what you're getting to?
No, because no. Yes, Ziggy is here. Hi, Ziggy.
Hello.
Halo, and he's wearing his halo.
I looked at yours, and yes. I saw it was on my mind.
Mine's a little tilted, but anyway. And then we have Venerable Tom Dorian. He is here. It's bittersweet, Tom.
It is.
It is bittersweet because this is like summer's gone. Summer is officially gone, and. Yeah. This is the end. This is the end of our summer of holy matrimony.
Yes.
It's not the end of the program. We will be on next week, so don't fret there. But
it's like we're graduating.
We have done 16 programs on marriage. Did we ever think that would be possible?
I didn't think it was going to be 16, actually.
I didn't know the exact number.
I had more like six in my head. What did you have?
Yeah, maybe? Definitely closer to that. Yeah.
But we went through all these aspects of marriage.
So congratulations to all the folks that listened.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then also, I think that's it's gonna live in infamy, as they say.
There you go.
And so you can always go to thecatholiccafe.com and go to the listen portion of the website, and you'll be able to see all 16 of those. And we have folks that have talked about using this as kind of a couples ministry, couples study. Where you listen to a show and you talk about it and then have dinner kind of thing. So,
do you help people walk through this, by the way? I know you do in the diocese, but do you do it with other entities or dioceses? Or?
Not yet, but you know what? Here's the thing. Please feel free to reach out to me, Deacon Jeff, at thecatholiccafe.com, and I would love to talk to you, your parish, your diocese, wherever you are, and talk about this, because I think this is going to change the world. Now, I'm not saying that this is my doing. This is the teaching of the church, but in terms of like seeing all of this material sort of in one place presented in one way, to be one in flesh, and helping couples to see that, not only couples that are being prepared for marriage, but also couples that have been married and starting to think like, well, maybe my marriage prep wasn't so great, and kind of wish we'd known some more stuff, and we've learned some, but we'd like to revitalize our marriage, renew things in our marriage. And so this would be a way to do it. So just reach out to me, Deacon Jeff at thecatholiccafe.com, and hopefully other people will want to do this. I have a couple of individual couples that I'm journeying with right now. And of course it's happening in our diocese, in the Diocese of Memphis. We're utilizing this this material. We have a marriage preparation workshop that we put on, and also we're going to start a retreat for engaged couples based on this material. So lots of cool things happening in the Diocese of Memphis, and hopefully a lot of people will recognize the importance of marriage, or re-recognize, I guess. Marriage is always, anthropologically, historically, has always been really important to the human race.
Fun fact, Deacon Jeff also randomly interrupts couples when they're having arguments at restaurants and airports. Just, he has the packet in hand.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll
say, do you know the nine characteristics of authentic communication? Obviously you don't. Are you going to eat this breadstick? So it's an interesting experience. So we're wrapping up. This is our 16th program. During the summer of holy matrimony and the first week of fall, and we're going to start talking really. So like it's like what's next? That's where we are, and I like to think this particular program will be like keep the fires burning. So this one applies not only to couples engaged but also married couples. How do we keep the fires burning? And some things that some people don't always think about and think. Like, well, we're done that. We graduated. We're married. So it's like there are things that we can do. And so I want to kind of walk through some of those things that, and there's lots more. This is not an exhaustive list, but the list is exhausting. Anyway, first and foremost, I know that like from a Catholic theological perspective, that people know that grace is important. I mean, people understand that that is the economy, you know, the sacramental economy in the church, and just that this is how God shares His divine life with us, and that is grace. It's a free gift from God, and it's important for us to understand that marriage being a sacrament, the sacrament of holy matrimony, is an opportunity specifically for that couple in grace, and also grace sustains their relationship and strengthens their relationship. So understanding that relationship with God and how our marriages are fed and sustained and blessed by God's grace, then we need to avail ourselves of grace. And that's one of the great things about the Catholic Church, is that basically it's in existence, well, because Jesus founded it, but essentially Jesus, I think, founded it so that we would have these opportunities for grace, mm-hmm. right? So that they could essentially dole out the sacraments. Mm-hmm. It's like God's got this fountain of grace that just pours out of Him constantly, 24/7, for all eternity, because that's who God is by definition. And so we need to avail ourselves of this grace, especially in the context of the sacraments. So frequent confession, frequent Holy Communion, opportunities prayerful opportunities, opportunities together as a couple, opportunities helping the community, opportunities being involved in evangelizing. These are all moments of grace in our lives. And the more we participate, especially in the sacraments, really, anointing of the sick, certainly sacrament of holy matrimony, supporting those who are in a vocation to the clerical life. And so understanding that all of these sacraments, they operate in this grace economy, and they are going to strengthen your marriage and make your marriage better. And honestly, without that grace, not only would your marriage not survive, but the entire world wouldn't survive. So, I mean, dip your toe in the water, dip your foot in the water, actually jump into the water, mm-hmm. you know, the waters of grace, because that's the number one thing, how to keep your marriage vibrant, how to keep your marriage ever new. You know, I love that image of the church, ever ancient, ever new. St. Augustine and some of the other saints talked about this, but also your marriage is ever ancient, ever new, because it's rooted, the very first couple on the earth, Adam and Eve, from that point to now, it's been around.
And we can only receive the graces that we're making ourselves available to receive. It requires some intentionality to set aside time
yes.
for prayer.
Intentionality is a great word.
Yeah, and surrender as well. Like, you know, these are sometimes hard things to do. You know, but it's not like you have to say any particular prayer, but setting aside, you know, 15 minutes, let's say 30 minutes, and sitting with the Lord and letting whatever sort of troubles you might have on your heart just sort of unfold in His presence and laying them out to Him in a spirit of trust and surrender, that can make a huge life-changing difference. And even if you don't hear some, you know, words coming down from the sky, the Lord can still speak to our heart in profound, yeah. life-changing ways, and can move and change our heart by His grace. But He can only do that if we make ourselves available to Him. And a lot of times we're just go, 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 and we're not really taking the time
yeah.
for prayer.
Intentionality is important. And that's one of the things that's on the list of how to keep your marriage vibrant. And to keep it going is setting aside a regular or just to be on a regular prayer schedule. You know, you said intentionality and setting aside time in the day. Bess and I like to we like to listen to Harry Belafonte's Greatest Hits album. That's our go-to. And, he says that song that in Latin is Deo, Deo. And that's a very beautiful, moving thing.
That sounds very similar to the Latin for God.
And, does it?
Deus.
I thought it was. But anyway, daylight come in the night. Well, anyway, I'm not going to say that. But I will say, Bess has just rolled her eyes listening to this program. I love you, Bess. And I'm kidding. We don't listen to Harry Belafonte's Greatest Hits.
I thought that was how you kept the big tarantula at bay. Yeah. You know, it's a trying banana, to attack your marriage.
It's a banana spider. Anyway,
you totally had me on that. By the way,
actually, you did.
Me too. I'm sitting there just wondering what. How does that look?
That is, you know what. No,
it doesn't look. Because I know where you'd be sitting. And I can see it piping
okay.
through.
Anyway, there are things that as a couple that you can do, right? Harry Belafonte is not one of them, but but there are things. I mean, there are simple things that, like, a lot of people are not, they're not great at prayer. A lot of people, you know, and I have to admit, Bess and I don't sit and have this sort of free-form, spirit-filled prayer session. And some people do. We don't do that. But there are regular things that you can do. First of all, number one is Mass and making sure we never miss Mass. And then we engage and find ourselves in Mass. But also, as a deacon, I have to do, I'm obliged to do the Liturgy of the Hours every day. And so we do that together when we can. And I'll another shout-out to Sing the Hours, that podcast by Paul Rose. We use that as an opportunity together. Like when we're driving in the car, it's amazing when you're listening to, you know, when you're listening to the Liturgy of the Hours chanted while you're driving, you tend not to get mad at other drivers. It's amazing how that it's actually attitude altering when you're driving. But we pray together in that way. And certainly couples can do things like just simple things like lighting a candle together at church. There's candles at church. You know, and they're meant to be lit. And some people only go there and light them when somebody's got cancer, when someone lost their job, when their kids left the church. And these are good reasons to light a candle at church. But at the same time, maybe just, you know, every so often lighting a candle for your marriage. You know, that as long as that light is burning, God is helping you in your marriage at that moment and at that time. And just kind of renewing yourself in prayer. Together, there's just lots of things. You're getting involved in community service work and working for others to help them better their lives is an act of mercy and a corporal work of mercy. And these are things that we can do. You know, a regular routine, constantly reminding yourself we need this grace and we need prayer.
And one other thing I'd throw out is, you know, prayer. Pay attention to if there's while you're praying, whether it's just silent prayer, whether it's listening to the Liturgy of the Hours and praying along, if some image comes into your heart or some word or phrase comes into your heart, pay attention to that. You know, you're not necessarily going to receive a download from God that's a full essay on how to change your life, you know, but if you're praying and all of a sudden you're in meditation and the word courage comes to you and you don't necessarily know why, for example, sit with that, you know, and sit with that throughout the day. Write it down. You know, that in itself can be a form of journaling, just writing the word courage because it came to you and just making a point to just sort of unpack that and see ways in which you might need to grow in courage that day. So it doesn't have to be some sort of a highly complex mystical experience. Yeah. It's just making yourselves available, ourselves available to be attentive to what God is saying in our lives, and sometimes He comes to us with that still small voice, like He did with Elijah. Yes,
so. Exactly right. So I keep in my journal, I keep writing, "Hey-o. Hey, daylight come and you want to go home." Anyway, so now this next one that I want to talk about is interesting because a lot of people, we don't think about this a lot, but we have friends when we come to our marriage. And then we'll have those friends, and sometimes we'll hold on to those friends without necessarily evaluating the healthiness of some of those relationships. And then also, once we're married, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to have healthy friendships and relationships. Mm-hmm. And that maybe, you know, maybe we need to reevaluate, like, think about all the times that, like, as a guy, Tom, mm-hmm. when we would get in trouble in college, there were certain friends we were with a lot. And I'm not saying it's their fault.
No.
We willingly went along and did things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like maybe those aren't our best friends.
You think they're saying that about us?
Maybe. Yeah. Very much so. But maybe it's circumstance
every
and happenstance.
I'm hanging out with
Drusen. Yeah, it's a problem. Happens. But the point is, there are opportunities for married couples to hang out with other married couples that are like them. And maybe finding those friends at functions at church for couples or where you just gravitate towards people like they look like us. Mm-hmm. You know, they look like us. They got a couple of kids. They got whatever. They're about the same age. Just go say hi. Let's just say hi while we're having donuts after Mass. And it's amazing how many people can find really good friends and end up being lifelong friends just by introducing themselves at church. Mm-hmm. And healthy friendships are good because they're good sounding boards. You don't want to be totally isolated all the time, right? You want to have people outside your one flesh. You want to be able to not only You want to receive the graces, but at the same time, to be able to share the joy that you have with others, that's part of evangelization. And God works beautifully in community. He works beautifully and wonderfully in marriage by having friends. And having healthy relationships, healthy friendships, are a good thing. And there's a challenge there, too. There are times where, you need to end friendships, or way less frequently. Maybe I'll see you at the reunion, or that's about mm-hmm. all, where you start to realize this is not a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing is, if you find yourself saying, I don't really know where to start, I don't really know any married couples, especially like maybe you've moved to a new city, you really haven't gotten to know anybody.
You're in prison.
One of the things that you can do is you can go to your priest and tell him that, you know, and he might have suggestions. And in fact, you can make yourself available and say, hey, I think it'd be really cool if we had something like a couples night, you know, just like an outing to a bowling alley or a restaurant or whatever, just to get to know each other and help build friendships. You know, he might put you to work a little bit, to try to get that set up. But the point is, then there's something in the bulletin. There's an open invitation. You never know how God uses it. Maybe it's going to be a big response, or maybe it's going to be just a couple of couples that come out. But those could end up becoming very close friendships. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, involving the priest, you know, in that process can be a very fruitful thing to do.
Yeah, and don't be stopped or stymied by, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Well, it's like what my mom used to, well, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Then you'll suddenly know somebody. You know, and sometimes those, you said it right, they could be very healthy and good friendships. And you know, you just have to kind of stir the pot a little bit, see what happens. And the cream will rise to the top, and that's exactly how those things can kind of work. And so it's and also prayer. You might hear that in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, relationships, friendships, or whatever.
And Curcio, if you have Curcio in your diocese and you and your spouse haven't yet gone through Curcio, that's and you find yourself when you don't have church friends, your life will change forever if you go ahead.
You're going to find some church friends.
Yeah.
You're going to find some church friends. So another one is, this was funny. I was doing a presentation like with at our chancery. You know, we had all these folks there, and I was talking. I just happened to mention marriage and talking about date nights. And one of the priests asked me, he says, why would you want a date? Well, I don't understand. Why would you want a date night when you're married? And I'd kind of, I get why he was saying that, because as a priest, maybe it just doesn't like frequently, that doesn't come to mind that way of thinking. But the important thing is what I tried to explain in a short time, but what was without, I didn't want to embarrass anybody either, but it's like, well, you know, marriage is always something where you're supposed to be in love, right? And when you're in love, you want to spend time with the person that you're in love with. And you need to sort of always kind of keep that, the fire's burning, right? Kind of keep the romance alive, kind of keep the things doing and going. So go on a date night, you know, especially if you have kids. There are times where it's like, mom and dad are going to do this and no one else. What? We want to go to Pizza Hut, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, it's just going to be mom and dad. You know, we're going to go and have a special time. Sometimes spending a weekend at a really nice hotel or whatever, just take the opportunity to say, hey, let's romance this thing a little bit, mm-hmm. right? And like I say, keep the fires burning. Date nights are an important thing. I know some that have regular Friday night date nights. I know some folks that just periodically have this kind of surprise thing, like, well, he surprised me with this trip or whatever. We just did it, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful, you know? Mm-hmm. It's almost like people want to be reminded of what it was like when they dated, when they were just infatuated with each other in a healthy, good way, and just where you want to spend all the time. Well, you shouldn't start doing that. You shouldn't stop feeling that way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to kind of help stoke the fire just a little bit. You've got to purposefully or intentionally make these things opportunities for grace. And so date nights are very important.
Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself saying, oh, nighttime, that's so tough because of my work schedule and their work schedule, I don't know how to coordinate. There's some time that works for both of you, you know? Yeah. So if it's a Saturday brunch or whatever, you know, figure out something that makes sense for you guys.
Yeah. Or a cup of coffee somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, speaking of cup of coffee, that's the next thing I was going to talk about. One of the things that, like, Bess and I, we always love doing is talking. Mm-hmm. We've always talked. And we just can spend hours talking about things. And we just make a point of it. Every once in a while, we've done stuff like we've met like at one of the coffee shops, or we just said, hey, let's just go sit and have a cup of coffee. I'm not a huge coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. But I do like a cafe latte, and I will purposefully, we'll go and do something, and we'll sit somewhere. And we like each other's company. We spend time with each other. And we don't just stare at the wall. We talk, right? And not about like important world issues all the time. Now, those come up a lot. But the reality is we just like to talk. And so you should be still, no matter how long you're married, you should check your marriage and see, are you still having like a conversation among friends, mm-hmm. among good friends? And you want to continue to do that. So those are things that shouldn't stop when you get married. You don't stop dating when you get married. You don't stop having a conversation with your best friend, right? And your spouse should be your best friend. I mean, literally. And that's who you should want to be able to. If I'm going to be on a deserted island, I want it to be my wife, right? And I hope she wants the same thing. I think she's nodding her head right now, I'm sure, in radio land. But the point is, that's what we strive for, which means make opportunities, like force opportunities for sitting down, having a relaxed conversation that isn't driven specifically. Surprise her. Show up, or surprise him. Show up wherever they are and say, hey, I brought a cup of coffee. I know you're getting ready to do this or that, but why don't you stop and let's just chat. How's it going? What's going on today? You know?
Well, and also, if you're not much of a talker, but like maybe your spouse is, you know, like don't let that throw you off. I mean, that can still be quality time to just be intentional about setting aside time. And if they're going to do most of the talking, and if that's how things go, you're still making a gift of yourself as long as you're present and listening and doing the best to be attentive and responsive. And if neither one of you are talkers, making time to be in each other's presence, even if most of the time together is silence, that can also still be quality time. That can still be communication that happens, even if you're not filling that time with words.
I will say this. There can be a tendency we can fall into the trap of having our cell phones that, and the screen time and whatnot, and that sort of the addictive algorithmic, you know, monetization of your life, you know, where it's like everything is just our monopolization, I should say, mm-hmm. of your life. And so that's probably not a good time.
Yeah, no, this is not for shared screen time, not for parallel play.
But watching the Hallmark Channel together, especially at Christmas time, Tom, you need to make some time for that.
Do y'all do that?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
but that's something I do. I'm admitting to our millions of listeners that I watch the Hallmark Channel at Christmas.
Nothing wrong.
I don't know why it gets me in the Christmas spirit.
You always make Bess watch it.
Yeah, I've got the little toothpicks on her eyelids so she can't blink. She does that stuff with me. She'd rather watch that than watch, like, you know, some of those other great Christmas movies like Die Hard, you know, and stuff like that. Although she does like Die Hard. Anyway, too much information. So that's all good. The other thing I want to mention is we Catholics love our saints, right? We have our go-to saints that we pray for their intercession. We ask for their intercession. We try to model our lives after their lives. We find saints who have gone through the same thing that we've gone, you know, through, or whatever, cancer. We gravitate towards like Saint Peregrine. There's just all these different saints that have these causes and are identified with certain things in our life. Well, there's also married saints, and a lot of people don't stop and think, you know what? There's some married saints. And so just to be aware that there are saints that the church recognizes. There are actually several married saints. Pope St. John Paul II actually put some saints before us that, because he thought it was important to like bolster marriage and have people to realize the importance of family life. Exactly. He canonized, and we have several different saints that came there, but at that time. But then also there are saints that have been saints since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. You know, the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, right? Obviously married saints, right? Mm-hmm. And so we know their story. But Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Mother, and Saints Zachary and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. So there's saints that we can then ask for their intercession. Maybe when we're having marital difficulties or challenges, or maybe it was like, hey, just kind of keep an eye on us. Things are going pretty good, but Help us to stay, you know, as saintly, obviously, as you did your entire your life, and help us to, you know, be filled with the same grace. And like the, I think the end goal in that, in recognizing that they're Catholic married saints, is that one day our hope and desire is that we would be Catholic married saints. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily canonized, but everyone in heaven is a saint. And our goal should be to be in heaven. And as husband and wife, it's our job to get each other to heaven, mm-hmm. right? And you know, my wife would look at me and go, like, Jeff, you're not going to make it unless I'm here, you know. And I would agree with that, with her. And I would say the same for her. And I think we do well for each other in helping each other get to heaven. And so that's our job, right? And so our goal should be to be Catholic married saints. And that's something we should look forward to and recognize and remember. We don't want to just like cast off so many of our Catholic teachings because we don't feel like maybe we feel like they're antiquated or they're just not applicable to us. You know, there's some people start going, well, we don't really keep that devotion. We don't really do that. We're not really good rosary prayers, or we're not whatever. But the thing is, our Catholic faith is robust. It's full of all of these opportunities for grace, mm-hmm. and availing ourselves of that, which kind of takes us back to the beginning of this, availing ourselves of the graces that God has in store for us, are really the most powerful and beautiful and wonderful things that are going to help sustain our marriage and make our marriage something that is successful, right? And when I say successful, I just mean long, but long and fruitful, joy-filled. Mm-hmm. So these 16 episodes, I hope, bless you. It's like the end of an era. We love doing this, and I hope and pray that all of us will have beautiful, happy, blessed marriages going forward. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.